This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Never give up. Never judge a book by its cover, and never cry over spilled milk. We've heard them so often, they may have lost their punch, but Raleigh-based writer Marty Grothy finds them endlessly interesting, especially as he considers where sayings like that came from. His interest in quotations began as a teen, but an obsession took hold in college when he began reading Henry David Thoreau. One quote in particular struck him. If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it's because he hears a different drummer. Marty has moved to his own music ever since. He's the author of a number of books on quotations. His latest is called Neverisms, a quotation lover's guide to things you should never do, never say, or never forget. Marty's going to appear at 7 o'clock tonight at Country Bookshop in Southern Pines, but first he's here in the studio to talk about Neverisms. Marty Grothy, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank. It's a pleasure.
Where did the idea for this book come from?
Well, as you know, I've been collecting quotations for more than 50 years, and whenever you collect anything, coins, stamps, butterflies, quotations, after you get a number of them, you notice that they fall into categories. And I began to notice about 25 years ago that a lot of my quotations began with the word never. So I kept a little file of those, and over the years have gradually been accumulating them, and they now show up in my new book where I have almost 2,000 of them.
2,000 things you should not do. That's kind of a dark world.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because every time I write a book, I learn something new that I never thought about before. In the area of human persuasion, we're either urging people to do something or not to do something. And when we strongly urge people to do something, it's called an exhortation. Well, guess what? There's a word called dehortation.
Oh, that's so great.
None of your listeners have ever heard of that word, I know. And there's a verb, dehort, and dehortation urges people not to do something. It's a perfectly acceptable English word. And throughout history, we've seen wonderful examples of dehortations. They go back to the 5th and 6th century. Euripides said, never judge till you have heard the other side. Well, that advice is as relevant today as it was when he was writing it, you know, so many centuries ago.
And are the mirror images of these neverisms extant? Is there the quotation, always wait until you've heard the other side before you judge?
Well, in some cases there are, and in some cases they're not. At some point in the future, I'm going to do a book of these proverbs that contradict one another. I even have a title for it. I'm going to call it The Reverse is True and Vice Versa.
Perfect. We got the title. We will have you back for that. But let's talk about the neverisms now. Many quotes that readers will be familiar with. Others, perhaps, we won't know the story behind them. For instance, never cry over spilled milk. Now, that one's pretty familiar, although I think I've heard it as don't cry over spilled milk.
Well, you know, this is another interesting story. If you do a Google search on that quote, you will see that attributed to Sophocles. Well, Sophocles never said anything of the sort. But what happens in the world of quotations, I don't know who invented this term, but there are what are called orphan quotations. These are great quotes, and along the way, they're attached to important figures in history. And that one has been attached to Sophocles for a long time. Never cry over spilt milk really means don't waste time about past mistakes. The first appearance of this saying in English was around 1659 in a proverb, English proverb, we should not cry over shed milk. And then these get adapted over time. Ultimately, it turns into the admonition, never cry over spilt milk.
And you would think that a lot of these, particularly in this hortative type writing, that they really start out as anonymous kind of sayings. This is folk wisdom. It gets passed down from one person to another and not necessarily attributed.
Absolutely. Sometimes they're anonymous. Sometimes they have very famous authors. And Aesop has a number of these neverisms. He's got a great story called The Fox and the Goat. I don't know if you remember it. The fox falls into a well. can't get out, can't escape, cries for help. A goat comes, looks down. The wily fox looks up and says, there's a drought coming. If you want to save yourself from dying of starvation and thirst, jump down in here where we have lots of water. So the gullible goat jumps down. The fox jumps on his back, hops out to safety. As he's walking away, he looks back at the goat and he says, never trust the advice of a man in difficulties. And see, now, Aesop was writing fables that were sending really important messages that he thought people needed to pay attention to. And that's a classic warning that always has reminded people, when you're getting advice, consider the source. Mm-hmm. And Warren Buffett came up with a new one. He may not have even authored it, but he loved it. He said, never ask a barber if you need a haircut.
There you go. And never buy low. Never buy high. Always buy low and sell high. So are there quotes now? Now that you say that, it seems to me that some of these quotes have become detached perhaps from their story, that they were stories that should have been attached and may have been lost.
Well, what's fascinating for me, you know, I own 400 quotation books, and even there's nobody in the world that loves quotations more than me, I don't think. But I will tell you, even with me, if I'm reading a book of quotations and I'm reading 5 or 10 or 15 pages in a row, I get a little bored sometimes with just one after another after another. So what I started to do in one of my earlier books was to tell the backstory behind some of these quotations. And it turns out that's what my readers are appreciating almost more than the quotation itself, because these backstories are fascinating. And so if anybody ever sees a book from mine now, they're going to probably find fascinating little backstories. And, you know, we can go over you want with them, but I got several that I could talk about if you'd like.
Well, let's do one right now. Never judge a book by its cover. We're very familiar with it. And this is something that is claimed by the Germans. But how did it become popular?
Well, who knows exactly how it becomes popular? The Yale Book of Quotations, which is one of my favorite reference sources, says that never judge a book by its cover first appeared in a Minnesota newspaper in 1894. And the Yale Book of Quotations always tries to find that first occurrence. Turns out, though, about 150 years prior to that, there was a German proverb that said, we must not judge of a book by its title page. So even these modern sayings oftentimes have origins in sayings that occurred years earlier. And then, of course, what we especially like to do here in America is tweak these sayings. So instead of never judge a book by its cover, you know, we see sayings like, I think it was Fran Lebowitz who said, never judge a book by its movie.
Now, there you go. The
which is clever.
Blast. Right,
variations
right.
on the theme are fascinating.
And then the unpoetic, never judge a book by its frontispiece or its table of contents, unless, of course, you go to the index first. And even then, you might not be sure. That had to change, didn't
that
it?
That sounds like a Frank Stasio.
I mean, but there are poetic beginnings to some of these. Never give up, for instance.
Oh, this, I think, was one of the most interesting stories that I came up with in my research. Never give up is a saying that goes way back into the late 1700s when a young Oxford student named Martin F. Tupper was studying at Oxford. He adopted this as a personal motto. 18 years after he graduated, he wrote a book called Proverbial Philosophy. It was a collection of verse and poems, inspirational in nature. And in this book, he wrote a poem called Never Give Up. The book contains a passage. I'd just like to read it, if I may.
Yeah.
If adversity presses, providence has wisely mingled the cup, and the best counsel in all of your distresses is the stout watchword, never give up. This book became Queen Victoria's favorite book. And by 1850, Martin F. Tupper was a rock star. He's one of the few poets in the 1800s that became world famous during his lifetime. In 1851, he came to America as a celebrity, was feted at a White House dinner hosted by Millard Fillmore. But 30 years later, Tupper said that his most important experience, though, was when not he went to the White House, but when he visited the Philadelphia Hospital for the Insane in Philadelphia, and he took a tour of the hospital, and the director of the hospital was a guy named Thomas McBride. And at this time in history, great poems were often reprinted anonymously. And so as Tupper is being given the tour of the hospital by McBride, he notices that his poem is taped to the door of every single patient's room. Well, he's thinking Dr. McBride is just honoring his famous visitor. Well, turns out Dr. McBride did not know that Tupper was the author of that poem. And when he finds out, he asks Tupper, oh, my goodness, would you please give a reading to our residents? In the book, I provide a passage from Tupper's autobiography. It's one of the most moving passages I've ever read about how he read this poem to the residents of the Philadelphia Asylum for the Insane. And he was absolutely overwhelmed by the great inspirational uplift that that poem had given them. It's a terrific story.
But it underscores, I think, the way context is everything. Because if you think about never give up, this had to be advice from this. This is the first piece of advice any father gave a son.
Context is everything. For years, I've had a quotation, never trust a computer you can't lift. Well, I don't think that's so special, do you? I mean, what I discovered in my research is in 1984, Steve Jobs launches this new product called a Macintosh. Well, it's turns out to be one of the most fascinating product launches in history. The crowd's eagerly awaiting it, and Steve Jobs, his handsome, young, dapper guy, comes up, and he talks about this new product that they're bringing out, and he unveils it, and everybody in this packed house is thrilled. And he says, you know, we've spoken a lot about the Macintosh. Now let's have the Macintosh speak for itself. And now, for the very first time in history, people have heard a computer speak, and the voice comes on. It sounds like, I say in the book, the voice sounds like the love child of Arnold Schwarzenegger and C-3PO from Star Wars. It's a strange voice, but he says, as it starts to speak, he says, unaccustomed as I am to public speaking, I thought of a maxim the other day as I was walking by an IBM mainframe computer. Never trust a computer you can't lift. Well, the audience went absolutely nuts. I've never seen that quotation now in the same way again because of the context. So context is everything.
Never bring a knife to a gunfight.
Another, the two most popular modern proverbs are never bring a knife to a gunfight and never let them see you sweat. Never bring a knife to a gunfight was never heard before in history before the summer of 1987. Now, what happened in June of 1987 was a movie came out called The Untouchables, you know, based on the old TV series. Kevin Costner plays Elliot Ness, Robert De Niro plays Al Capone, and Sean Connery plays a tough-talking Chicago street cop. I can't remember the character's name. But in the movie, De Niro has sent one of his henchmen to kill Sean Connery's character. So he sneaks into Connery's apartment. He's got a knife in his hand. And Connery's character hears the intruder, turns around, and he says these words. Now, it contains a ethnic slur, sadly, but, you know, this is the way the world works.
Leave that out.
With his gun in his hand, he says, isn't that just like a WOP brings a knife to a gunfight? This is the first time people have heard the words knife to a gunfight. Within 2 months of the appearance of that movie, that saying, never bring a knife to a gunfight, becomes popular, is now a modern proverb.
Lots of humorous neverisms in here as well, including, is it never trust a naked bus driver?
Yeah, that's the I have a whole chapter of titles, which are great. They're wonderful classic titles. I'm trying to remember some others, but none are coming to mind.
Well,
right exactly
there's
at
a
this
never
moment.
Stuff your never stuff your dog, I believe.
Oh,
and which a lot of that seems obvious to me. Although I had to wait. Actually, today I was almost late for work because I had to let three buses pass before I could come, having read your book. I thought, well, I'll just wait. Let these guys go.
The official one was Never Have Your Dog Stuffed.
Yeah.
And that's the title of Alan Alda's autobiography. And we won't go into the details of it here. But the story behind that title is absolutely fascinating, about the time when Alan Alda, a 7-year-old polio survivor, and his father were going to bury their dead dog, and they couldn't do it. And so his dad said, maybe we should stuff the dog. This became a metaphor because it turned out to be a horrible experience in Alda's life. He titled his autobiography, Never Have Your Dog Stuffed, and Other Lessons I've Learned.
Also, lessons to lovers, never tell a loved one of infidelity.
Ah. You know, I've been a marriage counselor for 35 years, and the subject of infidelity is of some interest to me, having been in that world. And I will tell you the dehortation, never tell, has been uttered millions of times over the centuries. What I didn't realize until I got to doing the research on this book, that never tell dehortation actually was authored by a woman, a fascinating woman who very few people in America know about. Her name is Nino DeLanclos, and for your listeners, that last name is spelled L-E-N-C-L-O-S. DeLanclos is a famous woman in French history. She's a operator of a Paris salon. She takes on many of the great lovers of that period, who were famous people. She was a friend of Molière. She bequested Voltaire in her will. She said way back when, in a book that she wrote called The Coquette Avenged, a tell-all, which has a great title, never tell a loved one of an infidelity. You will be badly rewarded for your trouble. And Frank, I have to tell you, I thought about that one this morning when I read the recent story about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, and the IMF guy, apparently.
And the IMF guy.
The IMF guy is going to be in trouble. And I guess the other part of that is that neverism has morphed to what happens here stays here. It's all part of the same thing.
Oh, indeed.
Here's one of my favorites for an odd reason. Never forget whence you came. And the reason I like that is it proves that whence means from where, so you don't have to say from whence.
Now,
it's a small point.
I believe you're quoting Tip O'Neill.
Go ahead. You quote him, but that has to have predated Tip.
No, I understand that. But my point is, I found that in a Tip O'Neill autobiography. And what he was doing in his autobiography was writing what he thought were a number of important lessons that politicians should know. You know, that's not the most famous one, though. You remember Larry Hagman from Dallas?
Mm-hmm.
He said, the cardinal sin of politics is never get caught in bed with a dead man or a live woman.
There you go. Words to live by. Neverisms that you can read for yourself. Marty Grothy's latest book called Neverisms, A Quotation Lover's Guide to Things You Should Never Do, Never Say, or Never Forget. Marty is going to appear tonight, 7 o'clock at the Country Bookshop in Southern Pines. He's going to show up at 7:30 Wednesday at Quail Ridge Books. And you can find him at the Regulator Bookshop in Durham Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Then McIntyre's Books in Pittsburgh Saturday at 11 a.m. Marty, thanks so much for being on the program.
Thank you, Frank. It's always a pleasure.
Just ahead, we're going to find out what happens when the devil writes a blog. Stay tuned.